Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are here with us. I ask that the words of my heart, the meditation, may be acceptable in your sight. I need you, Lord. I need you to speak your word through me this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to start by asking you a question. How many of you are happy? Okay. How many of you believe you have a right to be happy? Fewer than are happy, I guess. Many people say happiness is our constitutional right. Is that true? Does the U.S. Constitution give us the right to happiness? No. The Declaration of Independence, however, does refer to happiness. This is what it says. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The founders of our country said that God gave us certain rights. One of these rights, they said, is to pursue or chase after happiness. How do people chase after happiness? Some people believe a lot of money will make them happy. These people try to figure out the best way to get that money. It may to become a professional athlete. It may to become a brain surgeon. It may be to become a movie star. It may be to become a great musician or writer or chef. It may be to win the lottery, or it may even be to be a jewelry thief or to manipulate the stock market. The wisest man of all time, Solomon, also was one of the wealthiest men of all time. So perhaps we should hear what he has to say about money and happiness. Listen to his conclusion. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Some people believe that having fun brings happiness. Others believe strong drink, maybe drugs, bring happiness. But none of these things brings lasting happiness. So, is chasing after happiness pointless? Are we doomed to never finding happiness? I'm glad you asked me that. Because there is a way to lasting happiness. Turn with me to Psalm 1, 1 through 3. This is our text for today. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by rivers of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he does, he prospers. Let's start with the obvious question. What does this psalm have to do with happiness? To remind you, in the Bible, the word blessed, in referring to a person, means happy or favored. This is especially the case in the Psalms and the Gospels. So the phrase, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked," reads, "How happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." Psalm 1, 1 through 3 shows us a picture of a happy person. There are two snapshots of this person. The first snapshot shows us actions to avoid. The psalmist tells us that to be happy, there are some things we should not do. These actions involve allowing the wrong sort of people to influence us. The first action to avoid is to follow the counsel or advice of the wicked. The psalmist says that the happy person does not take the advice of a wicked person in the choices he makes every day. Perhaps a coworker knows that you're up against a deadline that you won't be able to meet. He suggests that you fudge a little. Maybe tell the boss a little lie about why you can't meet that deadline. He's given you counsel that could make things easier for you. But you know what will happen if you follow his advice. Telling that lie would cause you to react like you did in grade school when someone dragged your fingernails across the chalkboard. Your conscience would shudder at the shriek that girl's fingernails made on the chalkboard. So, the happy person rejects the advice of someone who is counseling him to do what he knows is wrong. There is a second action a happy person avoids. The psalmist calls this standing in the path of sinners. Proverbs 4, 14 through 16 warns us about the path of sinners. "Don't do as the wicked do, and don't follow the path of evildoers. Don't even think about it. Don't go that way. Turn away and keep moving. For evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone to stumble." Meeting people in places that put you in a compromising situation is like standing in the path of sinners. Has a friend told you that his parents are away on a trip and that he wants you to be one of just four others he's inviting to his house on Friday night? The happy person turns down this invitation. Why? Most likely your friend has no specific plans. What happens when a bunch of teenagers without any plans get together? What happens when they are in a big house with no adults? Notice the progression in the actions to avoid. The first action is walking, which is movement. The second action is standing, which is lack of movement. When we walk with someone, we normally don't spend very much time with that person. The purpose of the walk is to go from one place to another. Once the two of us reach our destination, there is little reason to stay together. So we separate, and I go my way while he goes his way. When we stand around with someone, however, we generally spend more time with that person. There's no sense of hurry. We are more likely to stand around with someone because we're comfortable being with and spending time with that person. This brings us to the third action to avoid, sitting in the seat of scoffers. When you sit with someone, you join that person. The New Living Translation of Psalm 1:1 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers." The involvement with the wrong sort of person starts by only walking with him, which leads to standing around with him, and finally results in sitting down with him. First is little or no knowledge of that person. Next is casual acquaintance. The last step is partnering with that person in his sinful action. Whether it is translated sitting in the seat of scoffers or joining in with mockers, clearly the person is now taking an active part in mocking or scoffing at other people. Remember, we're looking at the portrait of a happy person. The happy person first avoids following the counsel or advice of the wicked. Next, the happy person avoids standing around with sinners. And finally, the happy person avoids sitting in the seat of scoffers. The psalmist then turns from actions to avoid to describing actions to embrace. This is the second snapshot of the truly happy person. The first action the truly happy person embraces is to delight in the law of the Lord. So what is the law of the Lord? The law of the Lord is God's instructions concerning the moral, social, and spiritual behavior of his people. This is found in the first five books of the Bible. And in addition to this, the law of the Lord includes all divine revelation as the guide of life. There are 613 commandments in the Old Testament, and there are 1,050 commandments in the New Testament. And no, I didn't count them. The happy person, according to Psalm 1, delights in the law of the Lord. Really? With all these commandments, I'd think that someone committed to following the laws of the Lord would be staggering under the weight of these laws, not delighting in them. Most of us are familiar with the Ten Commandments. These are pretty clear and understandable. Here are two samples. Don't murder anyone. Don't steal. We should be able to remember these. We should be able to follow them. But 613 commandments? How can someone remember them all? Listen to this one recorded in Deuteronomy 26, 12 through 14. Every third year, you must offer a special tithe of your crops. In this year of the special tithe, you must give your tithe to the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows, so that they will have enough to eat in your towns. Then you must declare in the presence of the Lord your God, "I have taken the sacred gift from my house and have given it to the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows, just as you commanded me. I have not violated or forgotten any of your commands. I have not eaten any of it while in mourning. I have not handled it while I was ceremonially unclean. And I have not offered it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God and have done everything you commanded me." That's quite a statement if you can truthfully say it. Yet the psalmist says, I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Psalm 119, 15 and 16. And again, I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. 119, 48. In the same psalm, he says, bring disgrace upon the arrogant people who lied about me. Meanwhile, I will concentrate or meditate on your commandments. 119, 78. This psalmist again declares his love of God's laws when he says, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. 119, 97. Remember, the truly happy person delights in the law of the Lord. This means he finds his pleasure, his happiness in God's commands. With all these commands, is there any way we can hope to obey them without being crushed by their sheer number? Is there any way we can be truly happy people who delight in the law of the Lord? Don't despair. Jesus pointed the way for us. A Pharisee asked him, which commandment is the most important in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus quoted two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. The person who obeys these two commandments also fulfills the law of Moses. Look at the second commandment Jesus quoted, love your neighbor as yourself. The person who obeyed this commandment would be sure to do his part so the Levites, foreigners, orphans, and widows would have enough to eat. By following these two commandments Jesus quoted, love God and love your neighbor, the ancient Israelite would observe the even more obscure, perhaps easy to forget commandment recorded in Deuteronomy 26. The truly happy person delights in loving the Lord her God with all her heart, all her soul, and all her mind. The truly happy person delights in loving her neighbor as herself. The second action the truly happy person embraces is meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. Psalm 1:2. To meditate means to think about. It means to reflect on something. To think deeply or carefully about something. To contemplate. To consider. To soak one's mind in some thought or in some phrase or words. In Joshua 1:8, God speaks to Joshua. This is what he says. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. God talks to Joshua. This is what he says. After Moses has died, this is after Joshua has been made leader of the Israelites. God tells Joshua that to succeed as leader, Joshua needs to know God's law backwards and forwards. He needs to become so familiar with the law of God, it is like breathing, something he does without consciously thinking about. God tells Joshua to meditate on the book of instruction day and night. In other words, constantly. God's law, God's decrees are to become second nature to Joshua. We would do well to take what God told Joshua and apply those words to ourselves. I could rephrase Joshua 1:8 to read something like this. David, study the Bible continually. Meditate on the instructions I've given you day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything I've told you to do. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. As our Creator, God knows exactly what we need to do to become the people He wants us to be. He also knows that meditating on His Word is one action that will bring us true happiness. Our meditation should expand beyond God's instruction to include God's deeds. Psalm 77, a psalm of Asaph, says, "But then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works." Verses 11 and 12. The happy person spends a lot of time thinking about what God has done. And thinking about what God has done produces even more happiness. The Apostle Paul knew that meditating on the right things is important. This is what he said to the Christians in the city of Philippi. "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Philippians 4:8. This advice is especially useful to us in the 21st century. We are bombarded by negative story after negative story. We need to turn off our smartphones and our TVs. We need to close our internet news feeds. We need to fix our thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. This may be the only way we can keep from turning into sour, joyless, cantankerous worry warts. In the first two verses of Psalm 1, we see actions to avoid and actions to embrace that result in happiness. In verse 3, the psalmist turns from what brings happiness to the result of happiness. The psalmist paints a picture. The picture is of a tree. Listen to the description of this tree. "He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." The first thing we notice is that the tree is planted where it gets plenty of water. This tree is not going to die from lack of water. Secondly, the tree is firmly planted. This suggests that it has a good root system. Most likely, the roots run deep. This tree is not going to blow over in a storm. From this description, we know that the truly happy person gets plenty of food. From verse 2, we know the truly happy person feeds on the Word of God. We also know that the happy person is deeply connected to God. This was Paul's prayer for the Ephesian Christians. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17. The happy person is deeply rooted in God's love. Next, the tree produces fruit in its season or when it's supposed to. Delighting in the law of God and meditating on the law of the Lord are activities that produce fruit. The result of feeding on God's word is fruit in the happy person's life. The fruit may be similar to what the Holy Spirit produces: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Or it may be some other fruit. The last part of the description of the tree is that its leaf does not wither. It is a healthy, vibrant tree. The truly happy person, with her deep connection to God and his word, is full of life and love. The psalmist then turns away from the tree simile. He ends this description of the happy person by saying, "And in whatever he does, he prospers." Prosper used here means to advance, to move forward, and to become successful. God's reward is sure to come. Sometime, somewhere, and somehow. He promises this, and your reward is guaranteed. The happiness portrait is now complete. In this portrait, we see actions to avoid. They are following the counsel or the advice of the wicked, standing in the path of sinners, and sitting in the seat of scoffers. Next, we see actions to embrace. They are delighting in the law of the Lord and meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. Finally, we see in this portrait the result of happiness: a vigorous, godly, fruitful, and prosperous individual. May the Lord encourage you. May he encourage you to take his counsel to become happy people. Thank you. You're dismissed.